Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Spending a lot of time talking about the economy today with Charles Ballard, MSU professor of economics, and Joe Calhoun talking about the importance of writing an effective business plan and the ease of doing just that with a little guidance. I want to bring in our next guest, Kyle Malin, the editor of MERS newsletter and columnist with City Pulse. Hello, Kyle. How are you?
Great, Jack. How are you?
Just fine. Now, keeping with that business theme, we are seeing Michigan's unemployment rate falling below 13% for the first time in 19 months. You have to go all the way back to March 2009, but the state's jobless rate now at 12.8%. A lot of people think we have seen the worst, but have we really turned the corner? Are we heading out of this thing?
Well, let's hope so. You know what those numbers don't show is how many people have just dropped out of unemployment altogether and are now taking welfare or food stamps or some other public assistance because they've just run out of benefits. In fact, we just had some information from the Department of Human Services, and we did this story yesterday for MERS, about every day at that department is a record day of people taking public assistance, be it welfare, food stamps, or whatever services are provided, energy assistance, et cetera. And, you know, the worst could be over in that, you know, is Ford or GM or Chrysler going to shut down more plants? No. I mean, it doesn't look like it. It looks like they're both on the upswing. But, you know, it takes a while to get people back employed. It's a long process. People are being retrained. And, you know, hopefully that, you know, the number will continue to go up. But hopefully the other number that continues to go up are the number of employed people in Michigan. And that's when I think we'll really see, we can actually say, yeah, things are getting better.
Kyle, we talk about the worst being over. Is it possible the worst part is that we don't know what the worst really is? We don't know how many people are really affected. As you suggest, you start adding to this 12.8% and you wind up close to 20.
You know, one of the other numbers that I have, something that I think sheds a little light on this, is the state revenues and how much tax money the state is taking in. Because if people are out there making money, then they are paying that in income tax. And if they're making money, they're out buying things, and then they would remit sales tax. And what we've seen in the last reporting period from the Department of Treasury through the Senate Fiscal Agency is that the state is taking in less money than it did a year before.
Right, right.
But the good news is that it's more than we expected. So we knew things were going to be bad, but they're not as bad as we thought. So maybe there's a silver lining in there somewhere.
A little bit more news on this, Kyle. There's a report on Michigan State University today that overall hiring will rise next year. That has not been the case recently, so that is also encouraging. But when we talk about this state budget crisis and the deficit, the hole that's going to have to be filled, we talk about $1.6 billion, and a lot of people think it's closer to $2 billion. But in any event, they're going to have to make some significant cuts in areas because they're not going to have more stimulus money.
Right.
They're not going to have additional revenue under most projections. So they're going to have to start cutting. And one of the places that is always high on people's cut list is social services. People say, well, it doesn't affect me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's cut those people. But we have more and more people needing those services.
Yeah. And the other problem with cutting social services is a lot of that money is federal match money as well. And so if you cut the state dollar, you may be eliminating your chance of getting five federal dollars. So are you being, you know, pound foolish in the sake of being penny wise, if you will? You know, the real cuts in the state budget really boil down to like four areas, really.
Yes.
You know, it's all about corrections. It's all about the public health department, Medicaid, and it's about public universities.
Right.
And those are it. And then you can municipalities to a certain extent, the revenue sharing to locals. But that's really where you got to look at. That's it. I mean, the rest of the state government doesn't even equate to $1.6 billion.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about locking people up, giving the sick and elderly health care, and making sure our public universities has mildly low tuition, even though, you know, that's gone by the wayside as well.
What about K through 12 education?
That's funded out of a different pot.
Okay.
You know, that's funded out of the school aid fund, and the school aid fund's okay.
Yeah.
And the schools are you know, comparatively, I know they don't think they're doing very well, but compared to municipalities, the universities, to corrections and Medicaid, you know, they're doing okay. I mean, so if you're looking at like an all cuts budget, I mean, that's where your money's going to be cut out of, which, you know, we've cut those areas so often. I mean, the things that we'd have to do now are things that have already been rejected in the past, like on the correction side, reinstituting the good time policy,
yeah,
where you get credits, you're basically getting out early because you got good time. Good behavior is, I guess, how we refer to it now.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wants to do that here in the legislature. So, okay, well, then what do you do? I mean, if you got to shut down prisons, what are you going to do with these prisoners, and what jurisdiction, you know?
Exactly. And then you start looking at Michigan compared to other states, and Michigan has a very high rate of incarceration.
So then we could cut universities, I suppose, but then, you know, at what point is tuition so unaffordable that our talent just goes ahead and goes to school somewhere else because
right,
it's the same price? I mean, now maybe I'll go to school in California or I'll go to school in Colorado. You know, there's no incentive for me to be in Michigan because the tuition is just as expensive there. So now we're losing our talent, which is really our future.
Spitting in the face of your future, really, is the way I've heard it described. So.
Yeah. And so then you got Medicaid. Okay, well, we can cut Medicaid, I suppose. But again, that goes back to the welfare question, because a lot of that is federal match money as well. So for every dollar that we cut, then maybe we lose, you know, and I don't know the exact percentage, so don't take this as gospel, but, you know, $3 or $4, something like that. And then what are we going to do when these people show up at the hospital? Well, the hospital's got an obligation to pay for them. Where do they get the money from? Well, that ends up coming out of the people who are able to pay for hospital, me and you, who have insurance, and that means our insurance rates go up. So we pay for it anyway. You know, we either pay for it through our tax dollars and Medicaid, or we're going to pay for it in sky-high insurance rates.
There is an exercise, Kyle, in the New York Times online where you can actually try to balance the federal budget. And it's very interesting to try to do because obviously it's simplified. But you realize that you can make an awful lot of cuts and you don't get close to getting where you need to be.
Right.
So you have to make some other very tough decisions. And I imagine if you did the same thing on the state level, it might open some eyes.
Oh, I think so. I mean, absolutely. I mean, everyone talks about, well, I'll just cut the legislature. I mean, yeah, you need to eliminate the legislature, and then add on top of that, eliminate the governor's office and the Department of Management of Budget and the Department of Civil Rights and the Department of the Attorney General and the Secretary of State. And you hardly get to, a few hundred thousand or a few hundred million dollars. I mean, that isn't going to do it. You know, I mean, the general fund is only $8 billion now, and if you're trying to cut two of that, I mean, that means you're taking off a quarter of the general fund, which has been going down and been cut year after year after year after year. I mean, it's a skeleton of what it was when things really started to get poor back in 2000.
Last question for you, Kyle. How do you think Rick Snyder is going to look at this? Obviously, we've seen some of his appointments. If you judge who you're hanging around with, you kind of get an idea with a lot of the Engler era people coming in. But in terms of what he has said in the campaign and the problems he has faced, how do you think he's going to look at this budget situation?
Well, I know his popular rhetoric is that he's going to have a simple budget spreadsheet that will help him, you know, I help the public wrap their heads around it a little better. And you know, maybe that is an answer in that people will understand, hey, you know what, just cutting the heck out of the budget isn't just going to do it, because it's not really feasible or popular or even possible, really. So, you know, I don't know where he goes to raise some revenue, but and whether it's some creative tax scheme or something like that, but that's really where he's got to look at, because he's got to create kind of a stable foundation for the state budget.
Yeah.
So we don't have to keep revisiting this every year. I mean, we've been talking about the state budget since 2001 and the cuts that have needed to be made to it. And it's just old. And I know that we've had to tackle this every year because the economy just continues to stink.
Right.
But at a certain point, you got to say, okay, if this is our floor, let's just go ahead and just do the structural balance, whatever that is. Get it out of the way so in 2011, 12, 13, it's not an issue.
Kyle Malin, editor of the MERS newsletter, a columnist with City Pulse, our guest. Kyle, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Jack.